Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Pastor Joe Inman of Welcome Ridge Community Church. I just want to say thank you for tuning into the program, whether you are live this evening or if you are listening to podcasts. We're just excited that you've tuned in, and I'm hoping that as you join us tonight that we learn and that we grow. I've been doing a series. This is a part four, and it's Gate 3 of the series, The Jerusalem Wall, and how each one of the gates represent a part of our spiritual life. Right now, I would just like to open up in prayer. And I invite you, if you have prayer requests, please feel free to send us an email or contact us through Facebook. And we want to hear those prayer requests. We want to pray with those prayer requests. We have people that which are awesome prayer warriors. They get down on their knees and they are lifting those prayer requests up. And we are always looking for prayer warriors that are seeking to be used by God to touch the throne room, if you will, to be in that throne room with them as you pray and take these prayers to God. And you can, just like again, you can catch us on Facebook at Welcome Ridge Community Church on Facebook, like our page, send your prayer requests through that, or you can also contact us at wrcc2816@gmail.com. Again, that email address that you can send those prayer requests to is wrcc2816@gmail.com. And we're going to take the program this right now at this point this evening, and we're just going to lift some of these the prayer onto the program, and please feel free to send your prayer request to us. Father, we just come to you right now. Father, we seek your direction in this word and in this study. Lord, we just ask that you just move in a great and special way, and Father, to anoint my lips to give forth the message that you want to put out, not the message that I want to put out, but the message that you want to put out, Father. Father, I just seek your direction. Father, for those that are listening to this program, Lord, I just ask, whether it's through podcast or whether it's through live programming, Lord, that you just move and to touch their hearts and help us to grow. And we just give you the praise and the glory in all things that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would also, that same email address, I want to give to you one more time. If there was something that you wanted to bring out, if there's something that you wanted to hear about, please feel free to contact us. Let us know how this program affecting your life. We just thank you so much for tuning in. And that same email is wrcc2816@gmail.com. Amen. Let's go ahead and get started. We have been talking for the last four programs of mine, that of WRCC is the Jerusalem walls. There's the gates of Jerusalem. We're in Nehemiah chapter 3. And if you have your Bibles and you would like to turn there, we are going to be in Nehemiah chapter 3, starting in, or it's only in verse 6. We've talked about in the first part of this, we've talked about the sheep gate. We've talked about the fish gate. We've talked about Nehemiah coming in and building these walls and joining together. There is this chapter of Nehemiah is so powerful, and there's so much to learn in this area. I mean, we're not just talking about the walls, but we're also talking about teamwork. I mean, we're talking about pastors, you know as well as I do. If you're looking for some leadership training or something like that, Nehemiah is a great book for some of that as well, it's just so rich with what God has in it, and that we can learn in from the prophet Nehemiah and the wall and the gates of Jerusalem being built up. Now, the first gate was the sheep gate, and we've talked about that's the salvation. We talked about the slaughtering of the lambs. We're talking about the blood of Christ that was shed. And the history behind it. And then we've talked about the fish gate, that one there where the fishermen would come in and they would sell their catch. And we talked about being fishermen and men and seeking out God. The third gate, we're talking about the old gate, Now, this gate, there is a little question of actually where the gate actually originated from, with if it's a little bit farther down from where it was. You know, I'm going to not get too caught up into that type, those type of items. I'm more concerned about the symbolic meaning of it and how we can apply it to our life. Amen. Now, Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 6, if you're turned into that, it says, "Moreover, the old gate repaired of Jehoiada, the son of Paseh, and Meshulam, the son of Bosadiah, they," and forgive me if I butchered the name, "they laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof." Now, when we take a look at this gate, a couple things we need to take a look at. First of all, the first gate, when we talked about the sheep gate, it was built by the priest. Of course, we're talking salvation. We're talking, you know, the priests were the ones in charge of the sheep, or not in charge of the sheep, but they were in charge of when they did the Passover and the slaughtering of the lambs. And then the ones that were the fishies were over here. They were brothers, and of course we're talking about being fisher of men, and the brothers, as they built the gate, we are in Christ, brothers and sisters of Christ. Now, when we're talking about the old gate, who was the builders? You know, the Bible doesn't go into a whole lot about these men that built that gate, but there's not a lot of ties into these gates. And, you know, that's very symbolic, because you take a look at this, this is the old gate. This is where, you know, our salvation walk, the part of our life with this is where the old man is separate from the new man. This is where there's no ties in together. And this is where we talk about these two men that had built this gate, who had put the bars down on it, who had set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof. And they went in. We cannot find any ties with these two. And you see, this is where the Bible comes in and says, well, we don't find any ties with the old man and the new man. And this is where we want to go into. Now, when I talk to somebody that has come down to the altar, we are on the streets or wherever, in a restaurant, I mean, just wherever the Lord moves in, and he's given me the opportunity to minister to somebody and say, "Except Christ," of course we go to the Romans Road, the name of the program. If you tune into the programs with Brother Ron Dana on the Romans Road, you'll find out that he's doing a study on the Romans Road. But on here in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, of course we have to go through here. Says in verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, and this is for with the heart, in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We're going to skip down here, down to verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, amen, that I am a whosoever, amen? We are a whosoever. Now, I know people want to pick these verses, and they say, well, you know, they want to look in the scripture, and they say, well, you know, God knows who's going to be saved. You know, I'm going to be real honest with you. God sent his son for everybody to have an opportunity. When God sees his creation, he has a desire and a passion for them to be saved. We choose not to, because God sees us in his throne room, church. God sees us in his presence. Doesn't matter who you are, you know, because we have the opportunity to accept him. We have the lost has an opportunity time and time and time again. And I believe that's one of the reasons that we're still here today, is because of his long suffering and because of the grace and so forth. But we take a look, and you know, I want to bring this out. I brought this out Sunday in church service, and I want you to take a hold of this for one moment. And I know there's people now that are saying, you know, well, hey, you know, the Romans Road, the way that it's put together, it's false. People go through that. They say a prayer, and then they move on, and they say, well, you know what? They think that they're saved because you read some verses, and now they're saved. No. Wait a minute. Because we can take any verse in the scriptures and manipulate it and twist it in our walk, or as a lost person, and we can manipulate and twist it. I mean, come on, we have a world of people saying me and God's got our own thing going. Or, you know, the Bible says this one, you know, it's just like Adam and Eve. The serpent beguiled Eve and gave her a little bit of truth with a lot of lie. Or, you know, or just enough lie to make the truth, whichever it is. And, you know, this is the same thing. How can Christians say, well, that's the Word of God, and the way that they read it is, no. Let's take this for a moment. Let's make this real simple, okay? In Romans chapter 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall believe in that heart that the God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's this verse. Let's take this. For you fishermen out there, anybody who's ever been in a boat, you've gone fishing, and you've gone over there, you and your buddy, you're out there fishing, all of a sudden you end up overboard for whatever reason. And you're flopping around, you're out in the water, you're about to drown, you can't touch the bottom, you're getting ready to go down, you've gone down once, come up, spit in the water, you're soaking wet, and you're thinking, this is it, I'm done. Your buddy reaches over to the life preserve, the buoy, and he throws it out to you. Now, you can, in this verse, you can take it to, the word is out to you, your lifesaver is right there in front of you, and you confess you're saved till you're blue in the face. But unless you grab that life buoy, you are not saved. You're going to drown. That's all there is. But now it's that second part of this verse that we need to grab a hold of. It says, shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Again, confess with your mouth is one part, but you have to believe. For whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. See, it's that believing part. When the words that you say, it's the belief, because you can pray, God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me, all day long until you're blue, purple, whatever, but it does you no good until you believe that he's forgiven you, that he's raised from the dead, that his blood covers your sin. Until you grab that life preserver, until you grab that lifesaver, all you're doing is flopping around. You know, so you want to grab that. Then you have salvation. And then the old man is off of you. You see, the new man comes in. This is when we talk about baptism. I know people want to hold, well, you know, if you don't get baptized, you're not going to heaven. That's not what this verse says. I know it says to be saved and then baptized. And that's a commandment. We're to follow Christ in baptism. That's our first commandment we need to do. And, you know, he didn't say learn the doctrination of the church before you get baptized. The Bible tells us in the Great Commissions in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18, go tell, baptize, teach. Did you get that? Go tell, baptize, teach. He tells us as saints to go out and get them, to go tell them about Jesus. You know, then they accept Christ, then you baptize, then you teach them. Go, tell, baptize, teach. It's in that order. We've got it all messed up for some reason. Let's try to stay. So, Joe, you're saying, Joe, that's just really too simple. I'm sorry if it's us Christians or it's us philosophers or theologians or whomever, we're making it a lot more complicated than our walk has to be. Amen. So you see, when we go into the old gate, we've gone from the sheep, we've gone into the fish, see, we've gone from salvation, we've gone into being fishermen. Now, we at this point, you know, the old man is off. In water baptism, when we go down into the water and we come up, it's a representation that we're following Christ in death and coming up. It's symbolic, all right? It's symbolic. Yes, we should be baptized. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but if you did not get baptized, if somebody did not get baptized and they just weren't being defiant and, you know, something happened, I'm sorry. If they accepted Christ as their Savior, they made heaven their home, okay? This is where we're getting caught up in our works a little bit too much here, folks. So let's go into the old man and let's take that old thing off of us. You know, when my shirts or my suits or my pants, they start getting worn and they rip out, my wife says, boy, I think it's time for some new clothes for you. She'll go out and she gets me a shirt or whatever I need to replace, or shoes or whatever it is, because the other one's not holding apart. We have got so many times in there to where we find people are trying to put the old with the new, where the Word of God tells us that's impossible. You can't use old wine bottles to put new wine in. You can't add a new garment to an old garment. The wine bottles will burst. The clothes will rent. They will tear. The two doesn't coincide. You see, when you accept Christ as our Savior and we're making that walk, the things that we have of old, the things in the past, they're to be cast away to the side. Now, I want to make this statement. Now, I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony, if you will. Let me do it this way. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, you know, I drank and I did drugs. But God delivered me in a great and mighty, powerful way. And I was delivered. Boom. Done. I never touched another drink, never touched, you know, another cigarette. As long as I was in the presence of God, as long as my life's with Him, I won't touch those things. It's when we start straying away and we forget or we don't do what's at the cross of Christ. Amen. When we get away from that cross, when we get away from what Christ did, you know, it's too easy for us to go back into the old stuff. But I've got news for you. We can't put that old with new. I know a lot of people, you know, they say, well, you know, Joe, I can do, God forgives me, so I can do as long as I repent, you know. And, you know, here's the crazy part of that is the scripture tells us that's not true, amen. If you go into Romans chapter 6, chapter 1 all the way, Romans chapter 6, 1 through 23, I'm just going to read the first part of that here for a moment. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And I guess it's God forbid. He didn't just say no. He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And I know a lot of people want to point their fingers at other people. You know, you really got to stop pointing your fingers at other people. The Bible says the only one we can really judge is ourselves. If we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't worry about judging others. We wouldn't worry about all the other garbage in our life. We would be so concerned with our relationship with God and making sure that we're right where we need to be, and that we are sensitive to His Spirit when He talked to us, that we were sensitive into what He wanted from us. But we have to get away from, well, look at them. How about look at yourself? All right? Judge yourself before you look at anybody else. Look at, and one of the, I was with a dear friend at a dear friend's house here not too long ago, and they said, we have to pray for his eyes. Let's look at a brother or sister in his eyes. Let's look at the lost in his eyes, not our own eyes. You know, when we get into look into our own eyes, we get off of God's vision and God's direction. So he says, but God forbid in verse 2, how shall we that are to dead sin living longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. It's a whole new beginning. When I was delivered from the drugs and alcohol, saints, I'm going to tell you, I know I'm going to have some of you going to rinse your clothes and throw dirt up in the air, but I still struggled with cigarettes. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, and some of you is going to say, well, that's just impossible. Well, that's fine. You can believe it. But if God can use a mule to talk to somebody, if he can use a jackass to keep someone safe, he can use me even though I'm not perfect. Amen? We've got a church that's out there saying, well, first you got to be perfect. No, first you got to seek God and get direction, and God will cleanse you instead of you trying to cleanse yourself. All right? Say, well, I smoked. I still smoke. I still struggle with that. I even started preaching, and I still battled cigarettes, and I hated it. I don't know how many cigarettes I threw out the door. I don't know how that was such a big battle, and I prayed, and I said, God, this has to be delivered. I don't want this delivered. And sure enough, God did deliver. When I was ready to completely give him all and all of me and stop washing my hands before I took a bath, trying to get the work done on my own, God took it away. Now, later on down in my walk, and I'm going to just be real open with you, I'm going to be just real transparent with you, I battled pornography. Even after this, I was delivered from the alcohol, I was delivered from the drug, I was delivered from the cigarettes, but now I still battle pornography. We got pastors and churches today behind the pulpit battling that spiritual perversion. It's a battle for them. And in time, when I finally met business with God and I seek him and I directed and I stayed at the foot of the cross, no, I didn't. I didn't memorize Bible verses to say, you know, hey, if I say this 20 times today, I know God's going to deliver me. No, I trusted because he said when he was on the cross, it is finished. I believe that he took every addiction that we had and it was done with. With every ailment that we had, it was done with. He took the stripes for our healing. And he touched every part of our mind, our heart, our body, and our soul. And we have to understand, we need to realize that and grab a hold of that. And did it come right away? No, it was years after I'd accepted Christ. that I finally let God deliver me. Because you see, I was already delivered, but it was a matter of me grabbing a hold of that delivery and saying, okay, God, you're right. Thank you very much. It's done. Okay? But now it's a victorious life. That God gave us a victorious life. It just took me a little bit longer than most to grab a hold of it and move into it. Because, you know, we get into an area in our walk where we've got so much zeal when we accept Christ. And, you know, saints, we kind of just start pulling back and we start getting cluttered with the old things or new old things, if you will. Sin is an old thing, folks. Nothing new. The Bible says there's no new thing underneath the sun. And we just need to get into there and say, you know, let the old things fall off of us. Finally say, God, the old man is gone. I am not here anymore. The old desires are gone. You know, it says in Isaiah 43:18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. You said, see, when we're told you don't remember, not, so get back. You're going through a hard time. Someone listening to this program right now, you may be struggling. You may be dealing with depression. You may be battling things that, you know, you can't tell no one else. And, you know, saints, you know, the hard part for Christians is when we walk into the church, we have this fake facade on our face at times, and our spiritual life is in total turmoil. We see divorce rate as high in the church as it is in the world. And it's because, you know, the battles that we rage and that we pull away from our spouse, and we may get caught up into the old stuff. He says, don't consider that. See, with Christ as a new life, the old man's put aside because God has some greater things for us. God has a delivery over depression. God is a deliverer over all those things, the hurts and the pains that is keeping us from that relationship. Church, it's time that we're free. And I know, man, there are saints that's going to listen to this program and said, Pastor Joe, you don't understand what I have gone through, the things, the hurts that I've gone through. I want to tell you, you don't understand. God's already delivered. Remember, he was on the cross and said, it is finished, and then he gave up the ghost. He wasn't talking about just that the spirit was leaving him. He was talking about our hurts and our pains and our depression and our issues that we have in there. Excuse me. And those are finished. Those are gone. Because we are a new creature in Christ. If you will go to 2 Corinthians, I'm going to go into that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 17. But to show you that we are a new creature. Now listen, you may not be perfect, and I got news for you. I am one of those creatures. Believe I can be perfect in Christ, but the flesh I can never be perfect in. Because as long as the flesh has a sin nature and it tries to destroy, there's going to be areas that maybe I'm not perfect in. Maybe I lose my temper one time with somebody, whatever it may be, and I may have to go and repent and ask that person forgiveness. You know, been there before. I don't like doing it. I don't like, you know, having issues like that. But, you know, whatever it may be, whatever battle that you're going in, but I believe through Christ we are perfect because it's Christ that we put upon us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, first you have to be in Christ. Did you hear me? First you have to be, well, how do you know if I'm Christian? First of all, in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 9 through 13, did you ask God for forgiveness and did you mean it? And then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to follow his commandments. All right? Christ says, one, I know everybody wants to use this, two, love everybody. Absolutely, but true, do it with a pure heart. Find a Bible teaching and preaching church to grow in. And I don't mean Sunday morning, wake up, I'll do it next Sunday. No, get your rusty hide out of that bed, put some clothes on, and go to that church and seek God's direction because he's got a church that you are to be fitted in because each person inside of the church is a knob to that key, that little switch to that key that makes that service work. Go, get fed, and grow, and have that fellowship. Don't give me this when me and God's got our own thing going. No. That doesn't exist. That's a lie straight from hell. You need to find a church that's Bible preaching, soul winning, and ready to go out and reach the lost and for you to grow. Amen. The next thing that you're starting to grow. Get involved with that church. You're going to have a passion. You're going to have a desire. I didn't say every morning you were get up ready to jump out of that bed. No, because there's sometimes you're physically tired. And Satan's going to try to say, hey, here you go. You can't go because of this or this or this. You know, whatever you feed into your body, whether of God or of the world, that's what's going to pay attention. Because I'm going to tell you what. He says, well, I tried God before and it didn't work. Well, that's the problem. You tried. Stop trying and give. Give it completely over to him. Let God have everything. Don't you dare sit there and say, well, you know, I tried. Because I'll tell you what, you go to church, you give your heart to God. If you don't like it, Satan will have you back, and you can burn in eternity in hell, according to Scripture. All right? So, I mean, just don't worry about that. So, in verse 18, in all things are of God, who hath recounseled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation. He's recounseled. He's brought us into him. I want you to understand this word. In verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, recounseling the world unto himself. God has a purpose to recounsel the world. He put us all back together, come back in the presence where we need to be. And that's what he wants from us. And you have got to get into that area to understand God has a purpose and a direction, and he has a passion and a desire for each and every one. Not to die and go to hell, but to spend an eternity as heaven is their home, because hell wasn't made for them. So, and into it, the God recounseling the world to himself, not verse 19, imputing their transgressions. Again, let me read that. Let me slow down here. To wit that God was in Christ recounseling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye recounseled to God. Listen, God created man. And Adam, through Adam and Eve's failure, their separation happened. And ever since that time, he has tried to bring us back to him. And this is what we're talking about, you know, God has made a path and a direction to bring us back to him, to his way. I got news for you. If you think church isn't for you, I got news for you. You know, there's some churches that probably isn't. Some churches shouldn't be open. I'll agree with that. But we have a God that in his wisdom and his way knows that with the church, that helps us in our growing. And those battles when the old man starts coming back up, that it helps put the new man back up higher. Whatever you're feeding to the flesh, whatever music you're listening to is going to make a difference into that flesh. Whatever TV shows you're watching is going to make a difference to either your flesh or your spirit. Whatever books you read, these do have a play to them. They do have an effect. You know, when we give a little room to Satan, we're opening up a whole bunch of areas we don't want. Amen. So we got to have the new man. The new man is peace. The new man is joy. The new man is long-suffering. The new man, you know, we're seeking wisdom. I mean, there is so many great, great benefits to what God has for a new man. And when we've come into the third gate, when we've gone in from the salvation, and we've gone in from, you know, witnessing to our brothers, and now, because as we do God's commandment, because in the first we receive Christ, that's the first thing. The second gate is talk to one another. Remember, it says go. It says go. And then the third one is as we go, we're telling. He didn't say get clean first. He said go now. Well, God will do that process. All right. Listen, I tell you what, please send us your emails. My time is about up. We love you. We thank you for tuning in. Our email again is wrcc2816@gmail.com. Write us, send us your prayer request. Send us if this program's helped you. We've got several programs on there. If on this program, if you have enjoyed, if you're in the Yaleville, Arkansas area, please come. You can find our Facebook page again on Welcome Rich Community Church. Come, be a part of us, join us. And I want to say this time, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And just say God bless you. We're praying for you, and we love you.